Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July. For the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. What we had first considered was going to be Eric Bischoff's first SmackDown turned out to actually not be. According to sources, Eric Bischoff will officially take over after Extreme Rules. Eric Bischoff was not at SmackDown, despite some people's reports to the contrary. And SmackDown just went on business as usual, even though a few very interesting things happened. Before we get to that, a couple of points of news. The first off being, Maria Kanellis apparently is, in fact, legitimately pregnant. This is not necessarily done for the storyline. It may fit into a storyline, but it's not done for the storyline. It's not a fake pregnancy. She is, in fact, pregnant, and sources say she did not tell the WWE until after her and her husband re-signed their contracts. Now, policy dictates that the WWE cannot ask. The WWE cannot actually say to any of the female athletes prior to them signing a contract, are you currently pregnant? Why? I don't know. I honestly don't know why that would be a problem, why that would be a taboo question. Because you would think that the employers that are giving you money to perform would like to know if, in fact, you can perform or if, in fact, you will not be able to perform for the better part of a year. I don't think that's too much to ask. Apparently now, in the world we live in, you cannot ask. Okay, folks. If the panel does not call in before the host starts and try to connect all at once, we all be booted from Blog Talk. Anyway, we were discussing the reconnect situation, saying that basically the WWE is not allowed to ask if a female athlete is pregnant prior to her signing a contract. Case with I see Paul, I can't call his name, believe that there's a WWE diva who was expecting the exact thing. Don't remember her name. But she was, this was quite a few years ago, did not disclose she was pregnant, found out that she was pregnant, and they let her go. Essentially, it comes down to this. Do you have the right to know if someone you are signing for a purpose has the ability to do that job? I understand the opposite side. I understand it's a personal thing, and if someone is pregnant, you got to give them time. I get all this. But the fact that it's one thing if Maria Canales disclosed it and they said, look, we're not going to sign you then. We will wait. We'll sign your husband. We won't sign you. Or we'll sign you to a limited contract to do a couple of things. But when you sign someone fully expecting they're going to be able to carry out certain duties and they can't, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Anyway, now some people are speculating this is going to lead to Mike Canales getting buried, and that's what we saw Monday night. Other people are saying, no, this is going to be good for Mike Canales. He's going to get a lot of airtime. They got some angle going on. I don't know which is the truth. But I do know that Maria Canales is indeed pregnant. This is, I guess, their second child. And she did not disclose it to the WWE. So you won't, I mean, can she obviously show up for a little while, I guess? Can she do some backstage stuff and further this angle if that's what they want? I guess. But, you know, it just seems to me that if you sign someone for a purpose and they can't complete that purpose, I don't understand how that's not voiding your contract. But anyway, on to SmackDown. As we had suspected at first that Eric Bischoff was going to be the one running SmackDown, we thought we may see some marketable differences here. We did on Monday night, even though reports are that Heyman wasn't completely in control. I can promise you, you know, you smell the Paul Heyman all over Raw, believe me. Well, Bischoff was nothing to do with SmackDown, apparently. They just went on its business as usual, and they started out with the Kevin Owens show, which really confused me because Kevin Owens decided he was going to come out and read from cards for the first time ever. Apparently given to him by Shane McMahon. And he read them as though he was purposely trying to screw them up or he couldn't read, one of the two. Going so far as to say the under, going to the next card, Taker. This led to Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre coming out. And apparently they had pre-written some questions they wanted Kevin Owens to ask. Kevin Owens instead chose to ask them if they weren't afraid of The Undertaker, why did they jump out of the ring? Why was there this expression on their face? This Shane McMahon got angry, told them to stick to the questions that were pre-approved. This led to a little bit of a heated discussion. And out comes Dolph Ziggler, who I'm surprised is still around, to be honest. Dolph Ziggler says he wants a title shot again. I don't know why. How many shots do you get? And we're kind of off to a weird start because, A, once again, here we go with the overkilling of Shane McMahon. It makes logically no sense that Kevin Owens, who, and let's be honest, he was flipped back to being a heel because the WWE felt they had no choice. Daniel Bryan was injured and they didn't know what they were going to do exactly with the Kofi Kingston thing, so they said just flip Kevin Owens back. But then you went through the whole machinations of putting him with Sami Zayn and even having him win at a major pay-per-view. Him and Sami Zayn as a tag team, you know, winning. So I'm not sure why you instantaneously just said, okay, let's go back to face. Forget the Sami Zayn thing. Forget everything else that came after it. we're going to go back with plan A. And by the way, you've given them no motivation to do so. None. Zero. So that was a little weird. And him and Dolph Ziggler got into a little battle of words where Dolph Ziggler said the only thing you should be in competition for perhaps is a hot dog eating contest. Kevin Owens said, at least if I entered it, I'd win it, unlike you who wins nothing. And the bickering went back and forth, and it looked like it was going to get physical when Shane McMahon said, well, here's the deal. If you guys want a title shot so bad, I'm going to team you up. And if you can win your match tonight against Heavy Machinery, you'll be added to the New Day versus Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. Makes zero sense. Why would you have a tag team you just formed, go for a title? Defies logic in every way, shape, and form. Not to mention that I thought Kevin Owens' tag team partner was Sami Zayn. I know he walked out on him a week ago, but I mean, this was an extraordinarily illogical beginning to SmackDown, and one that truthfully bothered me for the rest of the night, because I can't get in to a Kevin Owens face turn, if that's what this is, when there's no logical reason for it. Zero. None. And I can't get into a Dolph Ziggler who has lost and then had another match and lost and then had another match and lost coming out with a straight face saying I deserve a title shot. Neither one of these things make any sense at all. None. Zero. So this is just bad writing all the way around, Mike.
It really is, and kind of makes you wonder why they didn't have Bischoff take over right away. You know what I mean? A lot of the stuff he did in WCW, maybe you didn't like, but at least there was some logic to it. You know? A lot of the stuff he did in TNA, you may or may not have liked, but there was logic to it. This beginning to SmackDown fits into a lot of the stuff they've been doing over the last few years, which is mostly illogical stuff.
It really is, and I don't see the fans. Fans like Kevin Owens, I get it, and they'll easily root for him if he flips. But wouldn't they have rooted for him a lot more if he had some motivation to flip? What was his motivation? He's mad at Shane because he gave him cards. What's the motivation? I don't get the motivation. I sincerely do not get it. Kevin Owens says, well, I pretended to be a nice guy because I wanted to infiltrate the New Day and break them up, destroy them, and win the belt for myself. And then my partner Sami Zayn came over and we're just going to run roughshod over everybody as a tag team. And then for no reason at all, I walked out on him because I'm sick of losing, even though you won on a major pay-per-view. And now I'm mad at Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre and all these idiots because I'm just sick of them. And there's no motivation there. There's none. Zero motivation. And this is why you can't get behind characters. Could someone have done something to Kevin Owens? I mean, could we at least have had a 5-minute spot where Shane McMahon said, hey, you walked out on a match last week that you were booked in. And I could legitimately fire you, and I probably should. But instead of doing that, I have a better idea. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you these cards, and you're going to go out like a good little soldier, and you're going to read these. And if you slip up, like you sometimes do, you're going to find yourself on the unemployment line instead of a wrestling ring. Because at the end of the day, I am your boss. Get me? At least we would have said, okay, now we know why Kevin Owens is mad at Shane. We don't know why Kevin Owens is mad at Shane. We don't know why Kevin Owens isn't getting along with Dolph Ziggler. We don't know why Kevin Owens suddenly is going to flip face and say this is my show. I don't get it. I just don't think it's a very logical way to begin SmackDown, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, this should have more motivation for Kevin Owens to turn face, and it just didn't make any sense there either. And
it's extraordinarily illogical. Okay, it sets up a tag team match. I get it, but it's not a tag team match anybody's overly interested in. So we get one half of the tag team champions, Daniel Bryan, against one half of the New Day, Big E, with decent match. Eric Rowan interferes. Daniel Bryan gets the victory. I mean, it's good enough. It's good enough. It's setting up for their match, I suppose. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it just is what it is. It's almost the problem with this SmackDown is it's almost cookie cutter. It's almost like everyone said, well, it writes itself because these guys are fighting, so one guy will fight one guy, and the bad guys will win, and then we'll do this, and this will happen. Everything was ABC cookie cutter. There was no surprises, really, unless you want to count Kevin Owens, but that's illogical. There was no extra branches on a tree that I saw to storyline-wise saying, ooh, this could go do this or this. Nothing, really. And so while this was a good match, Mike, I don't, you know, to be perfectly honest, I don't see it being anything, earth-shattering that's going to draw ratings or anything.
Right. And look, here's the deal. Think about this. Up until the time when they decided they were going to hire both of these two guys, what were we saying about both SmackDown and Raw? They were very formulaic, and they were very cookie cutter, right?
Yeah.
So this is just carrying that on. Yeah, they hired Bischoff, but he hadn't taken over yet. So this is just carrying on what they were doing, you know?
It does almost feel like they said, well, just put it on a treadmill until after the pay-per-view, and then we'll let Bischoff do what he wants to do with it. That does kind of feel that way. Which is interesting because you'd think they'd want to try to set the stage for him or say, we're going to give you a little heads up and in a direction to go, but apparently not. So, okay, we have Big E losing to Daniel Bryan to set up their tag match. That's fine. Backstage, we have Alexa Bliss and Nikki, and Alexa Bliss says, because of everything you've done for me, I'm going to let you host a moment of bliss. Nikki Cross says, I don't think I could do that. I'm not an interviewer. I don't know that much about this kind of stuff. I'd be nervous. I'll blow it. Alexa Bliss says, no, you'll do fine. Everything will be great. Don't worry about it. Bailey's going to be your guest. And so this is what we get. We get a moment of bliss with Nikki Cross hosting and Bailey being the guest. Bailey trying to explain to Nikki Cross that she's being used. And Nikki Cross kind of rejecting it, saying, well, that's not the Alexa I know. Maybe that's the Alexa you know, but that's not the Alexa I know. And then Bailey asked the million-dollar question, of course, well, you're the one who beat me. So please explain to me why I'm facing Alexa Bliss, who I beat. Why am I facing Alexa Bliss? Here's the problem with that. There's a legitimate answer. If there was no legitimate answer, then I could see why Nikki Cross would say, oh, yeah. Because she had that moment where she looked like, and then she says, never mind that. I have a question for you. Why aren't we fighting right now? But what they were trying to get across is Nikki Cross has no good answer for that question because there is no good answer. Wrong. There's a decent answer in Nikki Cross's mind. I'm not saying it's a good answer. I'm saying in Nikki Cross's mind it's a good answer. And that answer is, I accidentally cost her title shot by interfering in a match I had no reason to interfere in. So because I feel responsible for costing her title shot, I also feel responsible for giving her another one. So when I beat you, I passed my title shot on to her because I felt I personally was responsible for blowing her chances. That's her motivation. That's her answer. And it's a pretty good answer from her perspective. So to make it look like there is no answer, to make it look like, well, I stumped her, you're being used. No, incorrect. In Nikki Cross's motivation, in her mind, She feels she cost Alexa Bliss her title opportunity. And because of that, she told Alexa Bliss, I'll do whatever I can to get you a title opportunity because I feel I took yours away. So she did it. So that's her motivation. So it doesn't work when a face confronts a heel or someone who's with the heels and gives them a question they should be able to easily answer. See, the heels aren't supposed to have any motivation. If none of this happened, if none of this happened at all, if Alexa Bliss had just gotten beaten, and then she said, I know in my heart of hearts I could beat her if I had one more shot. And somehow Nikki Cross says, okay, well, I got a shot against her, and if I win, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give her a present. Then at least Bayley would be right, and she'd say, why would you give up your title shot? Aren't you here to be a champion? Aren't you here to do whatever? Alexa wouldn't take that from you if she was your friend. She'd say, no, I lost. You go ahead and take your shot. But with Nikki Cross feeling she cost Alexa Bliss her title opportunity, it makes perfect sense that she'd try to make it up to her. So the question doesn't work in this situation, Mike.
It really doesn't, and that's the thing. And this all goes back to, well, you know, why would you have her posted and say what she said, and why, again, if Bischoff had taken over right away, maybe this doesn't take place, you know?
I don't know. All I know is whoever wrote that should have thought about, well, Nikki Cross does indeed have motivation for stepping aside in this title shot. So let's not ask that question. A better question to ask would be, don't you have any motivations to be the champion? You beat me. You legitimately beat me. You should be the number one contender. You shouldn't be passing your title shots to anyone. Are you here to make friends or be a champion? That would have been a better question. So anyway, we have a relatively short, ineffectual match, which Bayley wins. And I don't know what to say, because, I mean, you potentially had a decent storyline here. And now, once again, you're jumping the shark with nonsense. Because now it's looking more and more and more and more like the ultimate payoff to this is going to be Alexa Bliss turns on Nikki Cross, and we get Alexa Bliss-Nikki Cross matches. All you're doing in the meantime is making Nikki Cross look like a babbling idiot. A ridiculous non-contender. A girl who would gladly give up her title opportunities just for a friend. And you're going to destroy Nikki Cross's character. Now, if you surprise me and you have Nikki Cross somehow turn on Alexa Bliss and say this was all a big plan, then that's great, because then that makes Nikki Cross look like the sociopathic nut she's supposed to be. But I don't see even at this point how that's going to work, because she certainly would not have given up her title opportunity. Now, you could have said, if Nikki Cross said, well, I'm going to get you a match with someone, whoever, and if you win, you're the number one contender. Tonight I got Bayley, and I'll get some revenge on her for what she did to you. And then she beats Bayley, and they say, you're the number one contender. And she said, tough luck, Alexa. Then you could have made an argument, Nikki Cross set this whole thing up. That's why she interfered in Alexa's match. She didn't want Alexa to be the champion. She thought Bayley would be the easier person to beat. She played Alexa like a fiddle. That would have been better, because at least it would have been a swerve where you say, well, you know, you trusted a weird girl in Nikki Cross, and she screwed you, didn't she? But that's not where this is going. They're trying to make Nikki Cross the female George the Animal Steel. One minute she's a psychopathic, ranting lunatic, and the next minute she's holding a doll saying, oh, I just want a friend. This is not going to work. Because even when this happens, and ultimately Alexa Bliss turns on Nikki Cross, which probably will be very, very soon, I don't know if the fans' motivations are going to be to root for Nikki because she's so hopelessly idiotic. that you can't feel for her and say, well, in the same situation, I probably would have done the same. See, the deal is you got to make fans say, I don't think she did anything I wouldn't have done. Well, now fans are looking at her saying, what, are you an idiot? What, are you a complete ass? You can't see this? How stupid are you? You deserved this then. If she uses you like this, I guess you deserve it because you're dumb. And you never want that to happen, Todd. You always want the fans to say, well, if I was in her place, I might have done the same.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, we're gonna see that eventually. Nikki Cross turns on Alexa Bliss, or Alexa Bliss turns on Nikki Cross. Hopefully we'll see that down the road sooner or later.
Well, you'll see it, but I mean, is anybody gonna care, Mike? At this point, if it's Alexa Bliss turns on Nikki Cross, is anybody really gonna root for Nikki Cross, or are they just gonna say, well, she got what she deserved?
Right. I don't know what's gonna happen. I mean, I've said it before. Now, all these guys are either going or going to doing something else. But when they brought up Sanity, they should have brought up Nikki Cross right then and there, and they didn't. You know, I mean, that's what kind of ruined Nikki Cross. It wasn't this. This is just the culmination of the process of them screwing Nikki Cross up, you know?
Yeah, but you could have still rehabbed Nikki Cross. You could have brought Nikki. When they brought Nikki Cross up, she was still that psychopathic, crazy girl who ran into the ring and cleaned house. And now she's this pathetic creature who's just looking for a friend and doesn't care about wins or losses or titles, doesn't care about her own career. All she cares about is, I have a friend. That's dumb. That's dumb. And fans can't relate to that. Fans are like, well, that's just stupid then. So if she gets used, well, she deserves to get used. How many people have told her you're being used right to her face? And she says, no, no, no. So how do we feel sorry for her when they finally happens? That's why it can't end this way. That's why it has to be the reverse. That she has swerved everyone else into thinking she's that pathetic little creature who just looking for a friend when she's really a devious psychopath who's looking to really drive a wedge between everybody in the women's division. If you can manage that, then fine. If you can't, turn in your crayon. Stop pretending to be a writer. Because you're not writing anything that the fans are actually going to relate to. I can't relate to someone that dumb. You don't feel sorry for someone who's given 100 opportunities to see the light and says, no. No, I don't agree with you. No. Okay, well, then you'll find out for yourself. And when you find out for yourself, people will say, oh, well, you got what you deserved, didn't you? That's not the reaction I'm assuming they want from this, provided that's the storyline they're trying to tell. Anyway, we get Andrade Cien Almas against Apollo Crews. I mean, it's nice that they're going to use Apollo Crews. Almas has been relegated into the mid-card now, I guess. All we heard for, I don't know, months and months and months was Vince McMahon loves Almas. There's going to be a big push of Almas. Almas is going to do this. Almas is going to do that. Almas has done exactly zero. He's been in this federation now a long time. And he's still fighting Apollo Crews on TV matches. So I have no faith that they're going to do anything with Almas. We can hope that Eric Bischoff might. But I really have no faith in it. And I think some of this is predicated on the fact that he didn't grasp the language well. And Vince didn't think he could cut great promos. I thought that's what Zelina Vega was for. Brock Lesnar doesn't cut great promos. That's what Paul Heyman's for. So I don't get it. It's a good enough little match, but again, I mean, Todd, it's not anything that's going to motivate fans to tune into SmackDown on a regular basis.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, we haven't seen nothing special with Almas as of yet. So far, they put him in feud with Apollo Crews for the last month and a half.
And Finn Balor, to be fair, but the Finn Balor thing is done. You know, he lost, and that's it. So, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. Speaking of I don't know where they're going with it, we then get Ember Moon. and Mandy Rose in a feud that I defy anyone to tell me what this feud is about. I defy you to tell me what it's about. Apparently it's about backstage. Ember Moon is trying to spend her career reading instead of competing. I'll just sit on a packing crate and read Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or some, you know, classic novel. And here will come along Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, and they'll have a muscle and fitness magazine and say, look, I'm on the cover and you're not. What? That's what this feud is about? God have mercy on us. Really, I'm being serious now. I want to know the writer who came up with that. I want to know who is responsible for saying, I got a great idea. Let's get Ember Moon, who's done nothing, into a feud with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, and we'll base it on the fact that Mandy Rose is on a magazine cover and Ember Moon isn't. Because, of course, that would be important to Ember Moon. God damn her, she's on a magazine cover and I'm not, and she's rubbing it in my face. Why would Ember Moon give a damn? None of this makes any sense. It's a feud about nothing. And because it's a feud about nothing, no one cares. No one cares. Now, you could have made this feud about something if you wanted to. You chose not to. You chose an idea that's so ridiculous and vanilla plain that, again, fans can't relate to that. So let's just say I'm sitting backstage and I'm a wrestler and some bastard comes over and says, look, I'm on the cover of Muscle and Fitness and you're not, because I'm a fitness type person and you're not really a fitness type person. Okay, well, congratulations. Good for you. And it doesn't make any sense. So she fights Mandy Rose. I don't know how long is this match. Not very long. And Mandy Rose loses so much for Mandy Rose, getting a big push. She's going to be champion. She's going to be this. She's going to be nothing. She's going to be stuck in a feud with Ember Moon, who's been so misused. Let me just speak for a minute on how misused Ember Moon truly is. Her look, her entrance, and even her ring work is excellent. Her mic skills are not. She's got a real problem with that because she has a look that screams kind of weirdly supernatural, mystical, spiritual type thing. She has an entrance that screams it. Her moves, she's the warrior, you know, princess or whatever. Her moves are all about that. And then backstage, she's like, hey, girl, how are you? Let's go do this. What? That's not supposed to be. I would have rather seen Ember Moon reading a book on some kind of mysticism or spiritual whatever, or, you know, something that they could have made fun of, but that's her heritage, and said, oh, look, a lot of this psychic mumbo-jumbo or this spiritual mumbo-jumbo, that doesn't get you a win in the win column, honey. You know what does this? Muscle and Fitness. I work my butt off to be here. So you just go ahead and read all of your hocus pocus. And then you might have had something. Ember Moon should be a girl who says next to nothing. Just a few words here and there. Shouldn't be a girl sitting on a packing crate reading a book like a high school student. She should have been a protected sort of a, when she shows up, people pay attention type thing. A little bit mystical, a little bit spooky. Nope. I'm just going to be your average girl who hangs around and reads a magazine and gets mad once in a while and wears contact lenses. Mike, they have totally blown her character to the point, I don't know if there's any rehab in it.
What was the Undertaker early on? All right. When he first shows up, what was he?
Right. Yeah, he was the embodiment of death.
He was the embodiment of death, kind of a mystical, kind of a magical, kind of a this, that, and the other. That's what he was. That's what she should have. And what did he do? He said, like you said, next to nothing. Now, he did have Bearer with him at one point, but he said next to nothing. He just came in, beat people up, and left, right? That's
yeah.
what she should have been. She should have been the female Undertaker.
Or if not the embodiment of death, at least you could have said, this is a girl who has enriched herself and her heritage to the point where she believes all of these mystical things about her heritage and her and the sun and the moon and the wind and the stars and the whatever. And she's become this warrior queen of this, almost like a throwback, like she believes she's been reincarnated. And she doesn't say much, but she's intensely fierce. And she doesn't have many friends because you don't really know which way the wind's going to blow with her. Sometimes she'll be on your side, and sometimes she could just turn on you because her ultimate goal is victory. It doesn't matter who her opponent is. She's a war goddess, right? That's what she's supposed to be. So she shouldn't be reading Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and you know, laughing it up with Naomi. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Should have been a girl with very little to say, always something mystical and unique when she does. Instead, she's this. She beat Mandy Rose. I don't know where this damn thing's going. Does anybody care? Is Mandy Rose going to be presented as Sonya Deville's lover? I don't care. Are Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville eventually going to get into a fight? I don't care. Is this feud going to continue with Ember Moon and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville? I don't care. This is garbage. It's thrown together nonsense based on nothing, and your fans will not care. It's not the people involved we don't care about. I want you to understand that. It's not the people involved that we don't care about, although you're trying to make us not care about them. It's the motivation of those people that you've given them that makes no sense. I see Mike sees Ember Moon as more of a Undertaker type. I see her more as like a female Black Panther. That sort of a thing. Steeped in that mysticism and spirituality and things and ready for war. And I just don't understand how somebody says, based on her look and her entrance and her nickname, we're going to make her the kind of chick that sits on a crate and reads classic books in her spare time because and yucks it up with Naomi. Because why? That doesn't make any sense at all. So that's an absolute horror show. Just a horror show. So then we get to the feature match of the night, Heavy Machinery. Well, I should say this because so many people have asked me, where's the Bray Wyatt thing? Is he coming to Raw, SmackDown, either one? What the hell's going on? I don't tell you, folks. What I do know is that his puppets and his little characters are popping up all over Raw and SmackDown. We saw Sister Abigail this week in a little appearance. I think Kofi was in the foreground and she was in the background. We're seeing this a lot. If they don't pull the trigger on this soon, it's done. There's no more Firefly Funhouses, and now what's ending up happening? You're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're not striking while the iron's hot. Everyone was interested in this. Everyone is, ooh, this is great, ooh, this is wonderful. And the WWE, in their infinite wisdom, says, okay, we don't have any more of them, and we're not going to shoot any more of them. Let's wait 6 weeks to introduce him. So all the momentum we have built up dies. Let's do that. Because it'll be a surprise when he shows up. But don't worry, we'll pop his characters here in and out so the fans still say, ooh, oh, look, we're looking for his characters everywhere. That'll be cool. No, that's not cool because 90% of the fans are missing it anyway. And just to have them in the background doesn't mean anything. He should have already been front and center. So then we have Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan on one side of the announce table and the New Day, meaning Xavier Woods and Big E, have their own table, which is colored appropriately and covered with pancakes, which, again, I'm not trying in any way to take anything away from the New Day, because, man, have they ever been a cash cow for the WWE, and, man, have they ever delivered time and time and time and time again. Those three guys have been nothing but money for years. But if you ever told me that three black guys in the WWE would get over using pancakes, I would have said, well, are you kidding me? If they come out with pancakes and stuff, people are going to say this is a racist type. I don't even understand this. I don't know how they got the pancakes over, but they did. So they're sitting there with a whole table full of pancakes, and Daniel Bryan and Xavier Woods are mouthing back and forth to each other about why they deserve a title shot or they don't deserve a title shot. In the meantime, Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler, who have tentatively decided, let's try this because our careers are going nowhere. See, that's the thing that really bothered me about this segment. Kevin Owens literally says backstage to Dolph Ziggler, well, maybe Shane has a point. Well, I thought you hate Shane. Because since we both come back, our careers aren't exactly doing very well, are they? Oh, well, I thought you both wanted a title shot. Thought you were doing smashingly. So let's at least try to get this together. Because why? Because Sami Zayn, your best friend in the world, who you just beat the New Day with, he's not good enough. He wouldn't make a better partner than a guy you can't stand and have never partnered up with to try to win the tag team belts. Ziggler says, all right, well, whatever. Because, of course, Ziggler's motivation is, I should have been the heavyweight champion. But he's, oh, well, I'll take the title. I'll take the tag team. That's better than nothing. I'll take the consolation prize. I'll take the year's supply of iced tea instead of the new car. If we're playing a game show, why would Dolph Ziggler's reaction should have been, I have no interest in being the tag team champion, especially with you. I'm doing this match for no other reason than I'm being forced to do it because Shane McMahon's my boss. But I have no interest in these tag team belts. I have no interest in teaming with you. And I'll go out there and do my job. But just know that my motivation has nothing to do with being a tag team champion. And Kevin Owens should have been the same way. Kevin Owens should have been like, I ain't settling for me. I don't want to be a tag team champion. If I want to be a tag team champion, I do it with my best friend and my partner. So this is all horseshit. So they have the other teams at ringside, and you know, we now have the deal where they don't want to do too much wrestling during a commercial break, so what they can do now is do stuff like 2 out of 3 falls, or other people get involved in matches and they have to restart the match, which is exactly what they did here. New Day and Brian and Rowan get into it. When we come back from commercial break, the match is restarted. I've never seen a team get old faster than Heavy Machinery. And I warned everybody. I said this act of, and then they're both good. Don't get me wrong. Both of these guys are really good. But the one guy that is terrible on the mic, he says nothing of any interest at all. And Otis is just one of those one-trick ponies. If he's not going, oh, yeah, and making weird, that's it. That's all he does. He's like the Kool-Aid guy. You going to make a whole career out of that? I don't think so. It's already old. But nonetheless, they win because Dolph Ziggler mistimes a super kick, connects with Kevin Owens. Ziggler gets thrown out of the ring. Owens gets pinned. Owens then goes berserk. Gives a stunner to Dolph Ziggler and screaming, this is my show, this is my show. Okay, well, I don't know what to say. Because this SmackDown made zero sense. All of it. All of it made zero sense. Including the Aleister Black promo. We'll talk about that too, where Aleister Black says, somebody knocked on my door. I am so sick of the Aleister Black thing. Only the WWE could ruin Aleister Black. So last week, somebody knocked on my door, and I answered it, and they weren't there. They're playing mind games with me. I respect you now. You respect them. You respect them for knocking on your door and running away. But I'll meet you at Extreme Rules, whoever you are. Okay. God have mercy on us all. Really, this was the drizzling shits of a show. Just the drizzling shits of a show. There was no motivation for any of the characters, none. No motivation for Kevin Owens to turn face. No motivation for Ember Moon and Mandy Rose to have this bitter feud and rivalry. No motivation for Dolph Ziggler to want to be a tag team champion at all. No real motivation even for the New Day to attack Kevin Owens and Eric Rowan or vice versa. None of this had any motivation behind it. None of it. And we get to the Kofi Kingston meeting, of course, where Kofi Kingston, Samoa Joe, everybody gives Samoa Joe too much credit. Oh, what a promo he cut. He's a brilliant, saying how Kofi's just using people to sell. I noticed you had your son up on the top turnbuckle with your new T-shirt on. Son, make sure you hold up my T-shirt. All you care about is merchandising and selling your shirt, says Samoa Joe while he's wearing his new shirt. And then he says, which makes no sense, if you shake my hand, Kofi, I will guarantee that I will not hurt those that you love on my way, 1 week, by the way, on our way to Extreme Rules. Well, who are you going to hurt? The New Day, they can take care of themselves. What are you going to do, come to his house and hunt down his family? Oh, then you'll be arrested. It was garbage. It's not a good promo. It's not a good promo at all. Kofi cut a better promo when he said, you haven't set the world on fire. What have you done? You're fresh off a loss to Ricochet. So you're somebody to get in this ring and talk about being tough and being this and being that. You've done exactly nothing. So to be honest with you, Kofi Kingston's promo was better than Samoa Joe's. Everybody just gets bluffed out because Joe has good delivery. Joe sounds serious when he's delivering his lines. So he could say, you know, he could be reading the alphabet, A, B, C, D-E-F-G. And people would be like, well, that's great. Nah, what he's saying is ludicrous. You're just pushing your products while he's wearing his own product. I won't hurt anybody you love. Well, where would you have that chance? You got a week. And New Day can take care of themselves. So none of it makes any sense. Instead of shaking his hand, Kofi flips him the bird, gives him the trouble in paradise, leaves Joe laying. That's fine. Joe's gotten over on him a couple weeks in a row, so he gets over on Joe now. All that's fine. I see this show as lacking total logic and motivation, Mike.
Right. And again, I've said it, well, we've basically been saying it all show long. Why wouldn't you have, you hire him like last week, why wouldn't you have Eric Bischoff take over right away instead of waiting until after the pay-per-view? That's the thing. And here's something else to think about. When the WWE wants to repackage somebody, they do a very good job of it. See Alexander Wolfe in NXT UK. Alexander Wolfe was in what? Sanity. Now he's in what? Imperium. Different character, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, apparently they didn't want Eric Bischoff to take over. Eric Bischoff didn't want to take over until he studied the product. He said, well, I've been out of the wrestling loop for a while. I want to just observe what's happening on SmackDown and make my notes and give me a little bit of time to ready myself. So they said, fine, we'll do it after Extreme Rules. So apparently this is what Bischoff's doing now, is scouting. He says he's taking this very seriously. He said he understands that all eyes are going to be on him even more than Raw, in his opinion, because of the Fox move. So he says he feels he's under more pressure even than Paul Heyman, because Raw's already established. Raw's not going anywhere. SmackDown is moving. All eyes are going to be on them. The Fox executives are going to expect big things, and he's the guy front and center. He's probably right. He's probably correct. So he wants some time to study the product and really formulate, I guess, his plan of strategy. So they told him, fine, study the product till after Extreme Rules. You'll be taking over the show after that, I guess. And we'll see. Again, Bischoff's changes tend to be more immediate, whereas Paul Heyman kind of slides into things little by little. But if that is the deal, then Eric Bischoff had to look at this show and say, oh, my God. The reason this show is the shits is because there's no character motivation, zero. There's no logic behind what the characters do, zero. There's no intensity in the feuds. It's just feuds over nothing. And fans cannot relate to the situations because no fan would do that. See, that's where we run into trouble. When you watch a horror film, the reason you don't care when stupid teenagers get killed is because you say, well, I wouldn't have done that. No one in their right mind would do that. You've just found four of your friends hanging with their heads carved off. You hear a noise and you're like, I'm going to go check and see what that is. You wait here. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what you do. And that's why when that person gets killed, you're like, who cares? They deserved it. But when you put someone in peril who does not deserve it, much like Jamie Lee Curtis's character in Halloween, that's when you get real suspense. We don't have that. We don't have that on SmackDown. Not right now. Somebody just wrote me and said, what about Shelton Benjamin in the weird promo? I don't know. What the hell was that? Hey, Shelton, who do you think is going to be the new champion or the champion after Extreme Rules, Kofi Kingston or Samoa Joe? To which he just makes weird eye movements and goes, I don't know what that is. Stupidity? Nonsense? I don't know. But I don't know any fans who are really talking about it today, so I don't see that it made an impact. So once again, this is the problem. I don't care what you're going to do with Shelton Benjamin's character. How come he just can't say, I am getting sick and tired of being asked who I think is going to be this or who I think is going to be that? Truthfully, it doesn't matter. All that matters is what I'm going to be. And then we get the Mustafa Ali thing. I don't know what he's supposed to be, Batman. I don't know what the hell he's supposed to be. And then he comes up with, well, I'm going to set a new trend when I'm the champion and I look just like you, or my name sounds just like yours. Meaning what? Meaning what? I'm a Indian? Well, we've had Jinder Mahal. We've had the Iron Sheik. So I don't get that either. And the thing is, I don't know how you screw up Ali, because he was doing great. I don't know why you had to make him this street. I don't even know what he's supposed to be. I really don't. First, I thought he was supposed to be some kind of street vigilante or street, some sort of a peacekeeper type guy who's trying to calm things down. Or now I don't know what the hell he's supposed to be. Now he's basically saying, well, I'm going to bring about change when my name is just like your name and I look just like you look. Well, you don't look anything like me. And my name ain't anything like yours. So who exactly are you talking to? A small minority of fans who are of Indian descent? Well, they had Jinder Mahal. We've had people from the Middle East and all over being champions of various things. You're not the first. So I don't even understand where that's going. It's a mess. It really is. It's a mess. And Mustafa Ali needed no motivation at all. His motivation should have been, Kofi, regardless of what you say, you took my spot. You absolutely took advantage of it. And good for you. But it was still my spot. And I'm coming to take it back. That's all. That's the only motivation that guy needed. Now, you want to say his motivation drove him to be a little more sneaky and maybe heelish in some people's eyes? Fine. Or if you want to say no, he's you're going to stay a face? Fine. But either way, that's the only motivation that guy needed. He didn't need to take to the streets and show people using drugs and beating their girlfriends and stealing from people and mugging people and saying, I'm going to bring about change. By doing what? Beating Kofi Kingston? How the hell does that work, Mike? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
Right, and really, this whole thing they're doing with Dolph Ziggler should have been Ali. It should have been me.
Yeah.
This whole it should have been Ali. You know, and that's the thing. And look, yeah. Here's the deal. There's certain bad movies that when you watch them, they're fun to watch because you can make fun of them. This is not SmackDown right now. Is not that. You know, there were a couple of guys who used to review just horrid movies, and one of the things in these movies that they talked about is that there were no repercussions for horrible things that were done by the characters inside of those movies. You know, that's what's happening here. Now, there was a particular movie that they watched, which was basically the Goldberg Santa Slay, where at one point in the movie, there were two kids that were lamenting about what shit they got, you know, for Christmas. And what happened is they opened the presents and they got their heads blown off. And that was basically cathartic to these guys after all the stuff they saw in some of these movies, because what they said was, Exhibit A, asshole. Exhibit B, they get their comeuppance, you know? So.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So at some point, if you don't have any proper motivation for characters, if you say Ember Moon overreacted, so these girls were bragging that the one girl's on a magazine cover, big friggin' deal. Kevin Owens overreacted. Of all the horrible things you've done, Kevin, you're going to complain because Shane McMahon gives you cue cards? Mustafa Ali needed no motivation. He didn't need to go to the street and say, I want to bring about change. You're right. All he had to be is Dolph Ziggler's character and say, regardless of what you say, Kofi, that should have been me. You know it. The fans know it. Everybody knows it. That would have been a very, very, very strong motivation for that character. We don't have characters with strong motivations. Even Samoa Joe. What is he supposed to say when Kofi Kingston says, you're fresh off a loss to Ricochet? And what, Joe just has to put his head down and be like, yeah, I'm an idiot who loses a lot. Because if you were going to set Samoa Joe up for Kofi Kingston, why the hell did you ever have Ray give that belt back? Why didn't you have a tournament for it and Ricochet wins it? If you were ever going to break Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn up, why in the hell did they win a pay-per-view match against the New Day? Why do you do these things? Because you don't know what you're doing from day to day. That's the reason. It changes like the wind, and then you're left with, well, but we did this before. Oh, that's okay. Nobody will care. They don't care if Samoa Joe lost to Ricochet. No big deal. Yeah, we do. Oh, that's okay. We don't. They won't care if Kevin Owens has no motivation to walk out on Sami Zayn after they just won a big match against 5-time tag team champions. Who cares? They don't care if Ali didn't have the balls after he got healthy to come back and just say to Kofi, that was my spot, Kofi. They won't care. Let's make him a street prophet who just runs around saying, I'm going to bring about change by beating a guy everybody likes. None of it makes any sense. Let's put Aleister Black in a room and say, somebody knock on the door and challenge me, please, because I haven't already fought 50 matches in the WWE. I haven't already been tag team with Ricochet. I haven't already went out and beat Almas. I haven't already had matches. So now I'm relegated to I'm in a dark room waiting for someone to knock on a door so I can have a match. If you wanted to bring him up like this to begin with, fine. But you didn't, did you? You let him have all these matches, and then you say, no, we're changing it. Now he's going to sit in a dark room and wait for somebody to knock on the door to challenge him to a match. Why? He didn't do it when he first came up. What drives him to do it now? Nothing. It's illogical. You're idiots. You change the rules in the middle of the game, and then everybody says, there's no point in playing this game. All this would have been fine if you brought up Ali and the very first thing you did was show these segments. Fine. But that's not what you did. You brought up Aleister Black, and this is exactly the way you brought him up. Fine. But that's not what you did. So don't pretend, we're resetting this. We didn't bring him up right. Give us another shot at it. And if this don't work, we'll make him a door-to-door religious preacher. And he'll knock on doors. Excuse me, can I talk to you about my religion, please? And then they get into a fight, and then they'll take it out in the ring. And if that doesn't work, we'll make him a disgruntled tattoo artist. You got to stop. Slow down. Decide what you want to do with a person. Get the vision right. Get the goddamn thing right before you present it to the public. We are not a test marketing situation. You test market things elsewhere. When you present someone on television, then that's goddamn it who they are. You can change them over the course of time. Slowly. But you can't automatically change them. You've automatically changed Ali. He didn't come in like this. So why is he like this now? I need to bring about change because a horrible, terrible, evil, monstrous man now holds the belt. No, Kofi holds the belt. Aleister Black has to sit in a dark room and wait for an opponent because why? When he's already had how many matches? None of this works, folks. There's no motivation. None. We can't get behind a character that has no motivation. It's a story with characters that do things that's irrational. If you were reading a book and there's a girl who goes to be a nanny at a house way, way up in that mountain somewhere, and it's a big castle filled with ghosts. And she gets there, and the very first thing she does is say, let me see what I can steal from the family. Then you've lost your caring about what happens to that character, so that would be a bad thing for a writer, wouldn't it? If she's your main character, and you want to put her as the protagonist to all these evil, horrible things that could be happening to her in this castle, then you better make her a very virtuous girl who people say, oh man, she's just trying to do her best in the poor girl. You don't want to make her a thief or a child beater or an animal abuser because then it doesn't make any sense. If you have a good guy in a movie, you don't want to say, okay, well, he's a good cop, but in the very first scene, he's going to purposely shoot some innocent guy because he pissed him off. Well, then that's not good, is it? This is what you do all the time in the WWE. You give us a character like Kevin Owens. Okay, I understand. You were pushed into a corner, and he has to beat turn heel. I disagree with your move, and I'll tell you why. 2 weeks later, Daniel Bryan was healthy. He was on TV fighting again. You could have found someone else in that back room to take locker room to take his place. How about Rowan? And left Kevin Owens alone. His motivation was perfect when he came back. I've had time to sit. I've had time to think. I've had time to spend with my family, to hang out with my son. And I begin to realize a lot of the things I've done in my career probably isn't great. And I'm going to come back with a different motivation. I'm just like you people. I don't hit the gym 5 days a week. I don't eliminate carbs from my diet. But I can fight. That's all. And then we would have all said, yeah, you know, I know guys like that. Yeah, we're going to have a barbecue on Sunday, and we're going to eat burgers, and we're going to eat chips, and we're going to eat hot dogs, but we can fight. We're still tough guys. That's Kevin Owens. I mean, that was great. But you blew it. You hit the panic button and you blew it. And then he became a sneaky, rotten, cheating bastard whose motivation is I'm going to destroy the New Day and everyone that the fans love. And then I'm going to hook up with my best friend who has done nothing but mock the fans and tell the fans how horrible, terrible, awful they are. And then for no reason at all, I'm just going to walk away from that and say, no, nah, I'm back on the fan side. What was my reason? I don't know. Woke up this morning and said, hey, that's not a good enough reason. Aleister Black decided to shut himself in a room for what reason? Has he said anything? You could have at least had him say, you know, I came to the WWE and I tried to do things WWE's way, but it's not my way. And I know what I'm about to unleash, and I would never, ever do it on someone who wasn't willing. So I'm going to stay here until someone says they're willing. And then once you say you're willing, whatever happens to you is no longer my fault. So come knock on the door. And that's your acceptance, that whatever happens to you, that's your fault. No, they're just, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I am. Mustafa Ali, I'm going to wander the streets and show you all the evils of the world and tell you that a champion needs to have my face and my type of a name because it's not being represented now by a minority, is it? It's not being represented by a good person now, is it? Oh, wait a minute, it is? Oh, well, I guess there goes my idea. I mean, come on, folks. And we have a warrior princess. Sitting in the back on a crate, reading classics, mad at some hot girl who says, look at me, I'm cute and I have a great physique and I'm on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, and that affects Ember Moon, why? And that affects her character in any way, shape, or form, why? Samoa Joe gets a title shot, why? After just losing to Ricochet. Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler in line for possibly getting a shot to be tag team champions. Why? When they've never teamed before. All of this makes no sense. All of it makes no sense, Mike. And that's why you cannot expect the fans to really delve into these characters.
Right. And that's the thing. And I'll say it again. You know, we talked about Eric Bischoff and him not taking over. After just 1 week of watching, sitting on the sidelines and watching, I'm wondering what's going through his mind and probably the pressure he now feels because of what he's just seen. I mean, we've been grading Raw and SmackDown for how long now? You know, long time, and this isn't going to be one of the stellar grades that we're going to give probably at the end of the show. So, I mean, if he's paying attention to any of these internet shows and listening to these people talking about grading of Raw and SmackDown, and he's listening to these things and he's watching, and I would assume Bischoff has had access to whatever scripts they've written so far, you know, that he's probably read some of them and whatever. And so, I mean, he can't be excited. He's got to be feeling a lot of pressure as of now, you know.
I agree with that. I mean, if I'm Eric Bischoff, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. If I watch this edition of SmackDown, is what the hell did I let myself in for? How the hell am I ever going to pull some of these characters out of the weeds? You've thrown away and destroyed 80% of the roster on this show, and now you want me to pull them all out of the weeds? I don't know how. You got to give Kevin Owens some motivation somewhere. Motivation to be a face. Kevin Owens has always said the following thing. See, if you're a smart person, and Eric Bischoff, I think, is, you have to follow the history of each character and say, well, let me say this. What has Kevin Owens always preached? I'll fight anybody. Okay. I'm ready anytime for anything. I'm a prize fighter, but he has always mentioned my family. Oh, my son, you know, my family. Okay. Well then, you know what you do? You have Kevin Owens come out and admit something, you know, that, well, my son watched one of my matches. I normally don't let my son watch a lot of my matches, but his friends at school did or whatever. And my own son is embarrassed of me. And there's not much more important to me in this world except achieving my goals here in the WWE, but one of them is my family. And I will be damned if my legacy is going to be that my son is ashamed of me. That's motivation. Then people say, yeah, I'd feel that way. That's true. If Kevin Owens' son was watching and Kevin Owens did these horrible things and his schoolmate said, hey, your dad's a real creep. Your dad's a loser. Your dad's a coward. Your dad's a punk. Bring that forward. Let us have a little motivation where Kevin Owens says, my own son, you know, I come home off the road, my own son won't talk to me. And that's not going to be my legacy. Then we believe in Kevin Owens and we say, oh, man, what a blow. Can you imagine if that happened to us? Could you imagine? That's good. Give us that motivation. Samoa Joe, if you were going to have him be the champion, all you had to do is just not give the belt. But Rey Mysterio says, I'll give the belt back, but the powers that be say, nah, it doesn't go back to Samoa Joe. It goes to a tournament. And guess who wins? Ricochet. And he doesn't beat Samoa Joe to do it, or if he does by DQ or something. So Samoa Joe can say, well, maybe it's the best thing that happened to me. Because now I'm moving on to bigger and better. Not lose like a dog and then say, I want a shot with a bigger belt. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. Just like Mike has blueprinted, how come Mustafa Ali's character is not that? Should have been me. How come Mustafa Ali couldn't come out? I'll tell you why, because you're afraid of politically incorrect stuff. How come Mustafa Ali couldn't come out and say, you know why it's not me? Because I got the wrong last name. Because the majority of the WWE fans don't look like me. That's why it's not me, Kofi. And I'm surprised that you would be involved in perpetrating something like this. They stole my opportunity. They handed it to you as a second banana. You ran with it, which isn't your fault, and you made the most of it. But in the meantime, you helped them screw me, and they screwed me for no other reason than what I look like and what my name is. And that belt is mine, as far as I'm concerned. How come you can't do that? Because then there are people who will say, oh, well, some people might agree with Ali. Some people say, oh, here we go again. With I'm the wrong race and I'm the wrong, we were filled to our friggin' ears with that crap. And hopefully Kofi kicks his ass. Whatever it is, at least it's motivation. How come you can't do that? Because it's better if a girl just shows up with a magazine and says, I'm on the front cover and you're not. And the girl says,
how dare you? Destroy.
What? How come she couldn't have been reading some mystical, you know, spiritual stuff back stage and those girls made fun of it? And you could have had the announcer say, look, they've crossed the line here. It's one thing to make fun of your competitors' theme music or their style or the way they look or their wins or loss record, but this is her spirituality and she believes in this stuff very much, and they might have crossed a line here they don't want to cross. How come you can't do that? It's easy. It's just easier to say person A you're going to bump into person B backstage, and person B is going to say, hey, why don't you look where you're going? And person A says, hey, I don't have to look where I'm going because I'm more famous than you. And person B says, oh, phew. And we're going to get into a blood feud over that, and it'll end in a steel cage, barbed wire, death match, exploding ring. Because that would be the motivation for attempting to kill someone, if they accidentally bumped into you. That's where the WWE's at right now. Instead of giving you true, honest motivation, where you as a fan can say, oh man, I feel for that person, or I understand where that person's coming from, or that person's way off base, but I get what they're saying, but they're wrong. No. Is there anyone who's saying, damn that Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, those evil bitches, I hope they get what's coming to them? No, nobody is. Because they haven't done anything terribly wrong. That's the problem. Where's all your heels? Is anybody saying, damn that Almas? I can't wait till he fights somebody that kicks his ass. No, nobody's saying that. He hasn't done anything all that wrong. It's a mess. This week's SmackDown, in my opinion, is a D. Mike, what's your thoughts?
You know what? I'm going to go a little bit worse and say a D minus. And again, I've said it all throughout the show. If we're grading it a D minus, what is going through Eric Bischoff's mind?
Can't be nothing good. Can't be nothing good. I mean, maybe he has some ideas. I hope he has some ideas. But, I mean, within reason, Eric Bischoff is not – here's the problem. Eric Bischoff has not a proven commodity when it comes to being a wrestling guru of ideas. It's not like he's, oh, I'm Mr. Fix-It. I'd have more faith in Paul Heyman to fix this mess than I would Eric Bischoff. And Raw wasn't in that big of a mess. See, that's the thing. You gave Heyman Raw. Well, Raw wasn't in that big of a mess. You did have some established characters people cared about. People care about Seth Rollins. People were caring about Roman Reigns. People hate Brock Lesnar. You got a few people over there that people had some interest in. SmackDown is just, it's fallen apart. And you've given that to Eric Bischoff, who his track record isn't exactly that he fixes things, Todd. So I don't know. Can Eric Bischoff write this or not?
I hope he fixes it. But by the looks of it, if he tries to fix it, it would be great. If not, it's done.
It's a disaster right now. And I can see Eric Bischoff literally saying, well, I mean, what would you like me to do? You want me to make a big hero out of Kevin Owens and he has no motivation for being one. You want me to make a huge villain out of a guy like Almas and nobody cares. You want me to do exactly what? You know, who's our Samoa Joe is going to be this big, force of destruction, but you've set him up for nothing but failure for the past 7 months. So how do I erase everybody's memory that he's been nothing but a big, huge, colossal bomb? Bischoff's got his work cut out for him. Heyman was handed a better hand. I don't care what anybody says. I'm much more of a Paul Heyman guy. But Heyman was handed a better hand. Heyman at least had, you know, a pair of nines. Bischoff's got like a 6-3. Hoping for a straight. That's tough. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. We'll see where this goes. I mean, we got to get through Extreme Rules first, and then I guess Bischoff's going to take the helm. And we'll see where this goes. In the meantime, SmackDown should be at least attempting to move some people in the right direction. Could you have at least consulted Bischoff and said, who's some of the guys, make a short list of some of the guys you really want to work with on top, and we'll start moving them in that direction. So that by the time you do get here in 2 weeks, things are moving in the right direction. Because if you say, well, I don't know, I'd like to start on top with a guy like Sami Zayn, and, oh, well, I don't know, he's had his ass busted 3 straight weeks in a row. Well, that's not going to work then. So hopefully they've consulted at least Bischoff, and they've come up with a few things, or at least a few names of people he really wants to work with. Anyway, Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you. I got to go with Mike there, a D minus.
So you guys are going a little worse than me. D, D, and D minus. This is bad. One last thing we want to say before we close is that Bill Goldberg tweeted that he has one more thing to accomplish in the WWE, and that is to erase the memory of what happened in Saudi Arabia. So Bill Goldberg has already thrown in the gauntlet that he wants another match. And he'll probably get it. Might be in Saudi Arabia again. I don't know. He'll probably get it. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, if the WWE continues to rely upon past legends to sell tickets, WWE is going to wind up in some rough shape. It's make or break time for the WWE, and Vince McMahon has proven he's taken it somewhat seriously. He has hired Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. He has fundamentally said he's willing to change these shows. He's going to have to let them build stars. Because if they don't, I'm sorry to tell you that 15 years from now, nobody's going to say, oh, Sami Zayn is back on a card. Can't wait to see that. Dolph Ziggler's coming to a card. Oh, my God, can't wait to see that. There's very few people in the WWE right now that's in their 20s or 30s that you'd want to see in their 50s. Very few. They've created zero stars for the most part. That's got to change. I think both Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff can do that. They can create some stars if they're allowed to do it. I think SmackDown this week was a waste of time, folks. Wish I could give it a better grade, but I can't. So we will see what the week brings, and we will see how they handle things on Paul Heyman's Monday Night Raw, and we will see how Extreme Rules goes. We'll be back here Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.